Well, in Europe, I mean, we don't have the Great Britain 4-day training camp, you know, thankfully. So we actually normally start August 1. Yeah. And the guys have their off-ice programs all summer. If you're in Sweden and Denmark, they probably only get a 3 or 4 week spell off during the whole year. So, and then the ice goes down August 1. And we start our camp from that, our ice camp from that point onwards. And also our dry land stuff continues, our strength and conditioning continues pretty much 11 months of the year.
And how would that be different to, I think, a lot of the elite league teams right now?
Totally different.
In terms of what you would demand of a player in the off season?
I mean, guys keep themselves in shape, but you know, the kind of concept that they use over in Europe, especially in Scandinavia, is they want you to do it as a team.
Yeah.
You know, the imports obviously go home. I mean, Sweden, you know, you have a first team of 26, 28 players and then maybe 4 or 5 imports you bring in. But they'll be on their own programs. But the Swedish players, they'll stay together as a group. And the strength coach will work them twice a day in Troyer. We had them twice a day, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 days a week. And we gave them the weekends off. And I was the most popular coach in Sweden, I think. I'm being serious there. The level of the player over there, the fitness level and the strength, the power and the speed is at a higher level than it is currently, I think, anywhere in the world, to be honest with you.
Perkovic in neutral ice, he'll send this one in. Soft dump into the corner. How would you go about changing that in the UK, though? If you ever returned, you were coaching a team there, how would you try and get the right situation? As Minho will say, take a shot, good save on the
how?
Block.
I would just implement it. There's no how about it.
But there is a how, because currently players are only paid for 32 or 34 weeks of the year.
Well, maybe we have to pull their salaries over 12 months of the year. You know, because that's what they do over in Sweden, over in Denmark. And you know, so maybe, you know, you earn the same amount of money, but you know, you change their off-ice habits. And
can imagine the first year how popular that would be.
You're not going to be very popular, Seth, but you know what? When you start getting the results that come with it, it changes everybody's mindset, and it won't take long to follow on.
And also, it's a job, isn't it? I mean, that's
100%.
That's the big thing is, you know, if you want a job, then you do whatever it takes to get a job. And
I think in the past, you know, we've had a mentality that, you know, you work for the players, and that's totally the other way in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, they work for the organization. Not all of them, because we have some great guys that look after themselves and keep themselves in great shape. But at the end of the day, I think I said to you the other day, Sweden's a prime example. Denmark's a prime example. They will work 8 hours a day with you if they feel that you're improving them and getting them to the next level. And that's where the mentality is different maybe than to the UK and to North America a little bit more, where, you know, they'll 1.5 hours a day suffices.
Here's a break. Murray can't take it over the blue line, though, so Croatia will retract again. 8 minutes to go in this game. Korea leading by 7-3. That's why we're chatting about some of the other things. I thought it was very interesting watching GB practice the other day and seeing at the end of practice, everybody but, there's a chance out in front, Kanasevic goes too high, goes over the top. Power play coming the way of Croatia very shortly. Seeing all of the guys go off, except for two. Jonathan Boxhill and Robert Dowd. And Boxhill, for me, is just a player that wants to learn. And you've seen his development just go through the roof in the last 2 years, really. He's improved massively. But he realises that for him to get to the next earning level, he's got to put some more goals into his game. He's got to get to double digits. He's got to be a guy that you can rely on for 12 to 15 goals a season. And he becomes a different beast when he does that, by the way. And he was working with Robert Dowd. And Robert Dowd, who's got potentially the best release on the GB team, just spent 15 minutes with him. And I think that's great to see on every level.
100%. 100%. And it does happen a lot, Seth.
Yeah.
You know, that's the veteran players, if you like, will go out and they'll work with the younger guys, with the coaches, and or a coach will ask a veteran player to take somebody under their wing.
There's a shot coming in, that comes off the block and bounces up in the air. Croatia, offensive zone, trying to make something happen, side of the net. Could be a chance, all the way through Glumac's legs. McCauley steps in, collects, sends it behind the net again. Croatia trying to breathe some life into this performance, but Berkovic will go back into his own zone to collect the clearance. Half-hearted pass to McCauley. And now Glumac will come away again. I suppose the other thing as well, though, and maybe this is an excuse, but you are so, in general, so limited in ice time in the UK. It's the amount of time you can get on.
I said that once to a Swedish national team coach. He said, you've got green fields, haven't you? You know, I think we use it as an excuse at times, Seth. You know, you have to make the best of what you have. And I've said this for years. We talk about ice time. If you want to be a champion swimmer, you have to get up at 5:30 in the morning.
Shot will come and a goal. Jakman Jak will score on the power play. It's a lovely feed on the diagonal from the blue line. And Jakman Jak will wander in and he fires high. On the catching glove side, the goalie beats him, he shakes his head. And the scoreline now ticks over. Korea 7, Croatia 4.
Yeah, nice pass and a great finish.
Yep.
Cross-ice pass, and as a coach, you want to take that away. You want your guys to collapse, have sticks to the middle. And they just spread out Korea a little bit there, and that's a lovely finish.
You were saying?
What were we saying?
About excuses.
Yeah, I mean, you have to find the best of what you can do. If you want to be a champion Olympic swimmer, you have to be in the pool at 5:30 every morning. You know, Denmark has 14 rinks, 7 players in the NHL, a whole host go into the NHL. The majority of their elite league players are Danish because they put in. We can't all get ice time at 5 o'clock or 5:30 after work. That's the way it is. So what are we going to do? What are we going to think outside the box? Our whole practice regime. I see my son's practices, you know, and a coach will speak for, and they do a great job, but they'll speak for 20 minutes of the hour that they have on the ice a week. Think about what you're doing. Do your talking off the ice.
How hard is it for you to watch that?
It can be very frustrating, but, you know, it's up to people like myself, the other coaches.
Chance at the other end and a goal. Tistuidi finishes off on a long rebound. 8-4 the scoreline now. Korea easing to victory in what has been a shootout at the OK Corral.
15 years ago, I went to Sweden, and I was with some coaches over there. They were losing so many of their best talent at 14 and 15 because they were being overcoached. And they brought a program in called Let Them Play. And I think in the summer months, because we have ice all year, the 14s should be on one end zone, the 16s and the 12s should, you know, and cross ice games, get them twisting and turning and moving and feeling the puck, because our skating and our puck management is so far below the rest, because we don't practice them things. Yeah. And that's not all about ice time, that's using the ice time properly to develop your players to have a top skill base.
And also to play 3-on-3 in those games is what every kid loves, you know.
Sometimes the best coaching is no coaching at all at a certain age.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, we have to put back in and make people understand what the best nations in the world are actually doing to develop their players.
Would be interesting to see a rink do that, to have that foresight, if you like. And there may be rinks that are doing that right now, that are creating players. I think Bracknell probably has got the best, hasn't it, in terms of...
Well, you just think, if you have an hour a week for the under-14s, the under-12s and the under-16s, I'm using this as an example, they get 1 hour a week, okay? Well, in the summer months when there's lots of holidays and lots of time, give them 3 hours a week, play 3 lots of cross-ice games. The kids that are better, move them up into the higher age group. That's how you learn. And maybe do that for 3 months over the summer. And I guarantee you, the skill level, the puck possession, the management, the passing, skating will improve tenfold.
Absolutely. Well, you're trebling what they would usually get. That's what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And what you're doing is you're giving players a reason to go to the rink in the summer months where, you know, maybe you'd be like, well...
Seth, if it's not fun, kids don't engage. Let me tell you, not just kids. 30-year-old ex-NHLers don't engage. You have to have an element. You want them to work hard. You want them. But you have to have an element of letting them express themselves. I still see junior teams now playing 8-7 guys at under 12 level. It just makes my blood boil. Breakaway.
Here's a chance. Sang-wook into the zone. Is he going to make the move? Back inside. Scores.
I think I'd score in this game, Seth. I was horrible.